Word of God today. We're going to start by opening up to the book of Peter. Peter. So, the book of 1 Peter, and very interesting, as we look at the scriptures, we see what the Lord was doing in the churches, and you know, the book of Peter is an interesting book. It was written by Peter, who suffered persecution for the gospel. This was a man who was being persecuted often, a man who was in difficult situations and circumstances. And as we think of his life, we think of this book, which is such an encouragement to us, you know, we read it with an understanding that this was someone who had suffered for the sake of the gospel. So let's go straight into 1 Peter 1, and let's read from verse 13. 1 Peter 1, verse 13, and it says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Now, the first part of that is what I wanted to focus on here. It says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind." Well, what does that mean? Gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Well, what it means is, we're not to have sloppy, fudged thinking. We're to have clear and straight thinking. And this clear and straight thinking is vital, because all around us, every day of our lives, are the forces of counter-Christianity, the forces of secularism, the forces of this sort of world view, let's say. The world, the flesh, and the devil basically trying to come into our minds, come into our lives, and influence us. And so it's clear, as the word is teaching us, that we need to gird up the loins of our thinking. Now, what does that mean? Well, I looked at it in the Greek. It was interesting to look at the word there, and it's interesting as well to first of all note that in 1 Peter 1 verse 2 the letter is addressed to the elect. How many in this place this morning know that you've been elected by God? Amen. If you have, just put your hand up. I can see hands up. Yes, you've been elected. You know, there's an election, isn't there? There's an election for government, an election for parliament. I'm looking forward next year to the American presidential elections. I have an interest in those things. And an election takes place, someone's been elected, and then they have a party. They say, "Well done, the flags are out, everyone's cheering, they've been elected." Well, listen, we are called the elect. And not just elected by a local constituency, elected by God. Amen? That's you and me. And so this is addressed to the elect. And verse 13, he says, "Gird up the loins of your mind." So girding up is a preparation work. To gird up, it means, in the Greek, it means to sort of take the slack out. The picture is, in those days, they would wear long gowns. And so you'd have the women wearing very long gowns down to the ankle, men perhaps down to the knee. But you know, I've worn those long church gowns, and I'm glad that I don't wear them that often, to be honest. Because when you have one of those on, you try and walk up the step, you step on your garment. It's tricky. And so what you do is, you grab it like that and you hoist it up. And you look very undignified, and then you just walk up the step. And to have girded something up, what it means is there's a work to do, And because there's a work to do, you have business to take care of, you're going to gird it up. In other words, what they would do is, if there was some physical work that needed to be done, in those days, they would lift the thing up, they tie it to the leather, a leather belt or something around them, and then they could run or they could do some physical work, and they wouldn't be inhibited by the garment they were wearing. So he uses that as a picture of what we need to do in our mind. In other words, make sure that there's nothing in your mind that's inhibiting you. Make sure that your minds are set with a pattern of understanding that nothing is getting in the way. Nothing is stopping you taking forward steps. Nothing. You're not going to trip over yourself. You're not going to trip over. You're not going to fall. Because why? You've taken care to gird up your mind. Gird it up. It's so important because all around us, every day that we live, there's a battle taking place. When we've been called to fight the good fight of faith, not to be those who live sloppy, anything goes. Oh, I've tripped up. Oh, look at me now. I've tripped up. I'm languishing in my life. Of course you will if you don't gird up your mind. Gird it up. Now watch this. Girding the mind up is an action that we take. It's an act on our part. It's something that I have to decide to do. If I don't, I will clumsily go forward and life will be tricky because I'll be encumbered by this thing, my mind. How many of us have had thoughts that we didn't really want come across our minds? Everyone agree with that? Yeah. And so the Bible is clear in its teaching that we don't passively allow those thoughts in. We don't just passively say, well, you know, and just let those thoughts drift in and think on those thoughts and let those thoughts take us to somewhere else. And then those thoughts take us to somewhere else. And before you know it, behavior starts because of those thoughts. And now we're in funny behavior. And you do that funny behavior for a while. And now you've got a bad habit. And the bad habit then becomes a stronghold. And all of a sudden, you've got a stronghold in your life because you didn't take care over that thought that drifted in. You see that? And this is why he's saying, gird up the loins of your mind. Don't be inhibited. Be clear on it. Understand it. And that way you will be free to do the work that God's called you to do. So if God says run, you can run. You're not inhibited. Got nothing flapping around down. You can just run. It's a lovely picture. And in fact, to use our language today, we have a similar expression to the one that we've just read in the scriptures, which is to roll up your sleeves. You know rolling up your sleeves? You roll up your sleeves, get the job done. That's a similar picture that it's conveying. And it's vital that we take this on board as an active thing in our lives. So why do we take it up as an active thing in our lives? Well, we've said if we don't, we're going to have problems. All people have bad thoughts, and they flash across our minds. And it's what we decide to do with those bad thoughts once it crosses our mind. You can decide to choose to let the bad thought slide right out of your mind and not give it another thought. Or you can choose to really start thinking about it and dwelling on it. And once you start to really think about and dwell on that bad thought, what happens is you start to feed it. And once you start to feed it, what happens? What happens when you feed something? It starts to grow. The more you think on it, it's feeding on it. It starts to grow. The scriptures tell us that we should feed on the word. It's the bread of life. Feed on it. What does it mean? That means to read it, to think on it. Have it going through your mind. That's feeding on it. So, once it starts to grow, it can lead to a stronghold. Then you have a hard time getting out of the thought process. And once the mental stronghold starts to grow and get deeper and stronger, you then start to get a desire to want to act on that which you've been thinking about. And once you start to act on it, you can develop an addiction. And then you can start repeating the same behavior over and over and over again if you're not very careful in the first place with the thoughts. So, wrong thinking produces wrong believing, which produces wrong receiving. And that includes wrong speaking. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you examine your own words, it will reveal, to some degree, what's in the heart. So, God wants us to know the truth, and the truth will set us free. The enemy is always trying to implant a lie, a deception, and he plants it in the mind. The strongholds of Satan are in the mind, in the reasonings and the imaginations. And if he can get hold of those reasonings and imaginations, he can have a field day. He starts off with just a little thing. But if it's not sorted out, it will grow and grow and grow. And then it becomes a stronghold. And sometimes it takes over life. It becomes, in fact, the focal point of life. And so girding up the loins of our mind is knowing this, that if we are to serve the purposes of God in our lives, if we are to live the life that God has for us, the abundant life that Jesus speaks about in John 10, that life comes by a girding up and a preparation and a taking action over the thoughts that drift through our mind. When those thoughts come in, take action. Now, that's a simple thing here. We've done this before. Let's do it again. Everyone here in this room, I want you, when I drop my hand, I want everyone in this room, in your mind, to count to 10. And sort of count in this rhythm, okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, everyone? Everyone with me? Right. So when I drop my hand, in your mind, not out loud, you just, in your mind, count to 10. Say Jesus. What happened to the counting? Stopped. So we overcome what drifts through our mind very easily by speaking something out. So the spoken word has power over the thought. That's why when we read the scriptures, it's best to read it out loud. But if you have thoughts and difficulties with thinking, one of the things, and it could be fear. You may be afraid. I don't know, you may be at home. Some people, you know, they're afraid of the dark. There's been a couple of times when I've come to the church at night. No, I just look around myself when I come into the building. I don't know. I don't know. You get a funny sort of. I don't know what it. It's happened a couple of times. I'm very quick to start singing praise to the Lord. I just say,
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the victory. Hallelujah. Such shout out. Those evil things don't like strong shouts of faith and the name of Jesus. Amen. The name of Jesus is above every other name. So speak things out. You see, the devil, what he wants to do is get a little seed of fear in, and now you think on it. Oh, what was that thing there? The imagination was given to us by God for his purposes. If we're not careful, the enemy, we know that in John 10:10, Jesus tells us what the enemy is about. And one of those things he's about is to kill, to steal, and destroy. But the stealing includes the imagination. He wants to steal our imagination from godly purposes to his evil purposes. Or fear, for example, is one of those purposes. So there's a thing, if you don't speak out, oh, there's something. I felt something. There's something in this dark place. I know there is. And then you just picture those gargoyles or something. Or you saw a horror film. When I was a little boy, there was these Dracula horror films. Horrible films. But you look at them now, compared to the films now, they're not so evil. They think they're comical now. But as a little boy, they would really scare me. And you see that bloke with the fangs. If I'm not careful, if you're in a dark place, you start thinking, is he around you? Where is he? You see, the imagination starts going. I see this man, Christopher Lee, the actor. I saw him once in real life. He gave me a funny look and a nice smile. I thought, tall, skinny man. Nice man, actually. But, if you're not careful, the imagination gets used by the enemy. You start thinking of all these funny things. So God has given us the imagination to use for his purposes. And he says, gird up the loins of your mind and think now on the things that God has caused us to think on. Interesting that last week when we were speaking on this, we were talking about what it is to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking to each other in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, we speak to each other in those songs. We put the imagination to work in those things, in singing, our imagination into beautiful words that convey God's glory and his wonderfulness. You understand? And so when we do that, we accomplish what God is calling us to accomplish. And this is a key here. He says, look, instead of fear, instead of accusations, instead of allowing guilt into your thinking, view yourself and think of yourself in line with the scriptures. You see, the enemy, most Christians that I speak to, they think they have a poor understanding of who they are. It's why I like to start off the service with an encouragement or give everyone an encouragement even before the Sunday school teachers leave. I want everyone to hear in this place that they're of value and worth to Jesus. Because I know that the enemy gets us to think the wrong way. That's his plan. If he can get people to think the wrong way about themselves, think in an unbiblical way. Often, he uses religion to get people to think like that. So there's false guilt involved. False guilt. People feel guilty about who they are. They're fearful. And all manner of things that are false and from the enemy. And God is saying, no, gird up the loins of your mind. And what it means is think of yourself in terms of what the Bible says you are. What the Bible says you are now in Christ. Don't allow those sloppy thoughts to come in, sloppy thinking about fear and about using imagination in the wrong way or anything like that.
take hold of those things. No, no, we won't have those things. We gird up the loins of our mind. We push those things out. We say, I'm not having that. I know in whom I have believed, Jesus, and I know what that means because I'm in the Word of God, and the Word is showing me clearly. Let me give you an example. In 1 Peter 1:2, it says that this letter is addressed to the elect. If we go to Romans, let's go to Romans chapter 8. And in Romans chapter 8, verse 33, it talks about those elect. Listen to what it says. It says this, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? And it says then, it is God who justifies. In other words, no one can bring a charge against God's elect. Who's elect here today? Are you elect? No one brings a charge against you. No one can bring a charge against you. It's God who justifies. And the enemy doesn't want us to gird up our minds to the degree that we take that on board. He wants us in sloppy thinking, not really employing what the Word of God says about us, not truly believing it, not taking it on board fully. When we take it on board fully, everything changes. See, some people see God as a judge who has exacting demands on us. And when they fall short or things go wrong in their lives, they think that somehow God is judging them. The truth is that if you're a believer, God does not bring any charge against you. Instead, He justifies you. Hallelujah! Instead, He justifies you. Now, this is right thinking. This is biblical, new covenant Christianity. He justifies you. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. Because of that blood, you're justified before God. In fact, God's word goes on to say that the one who has the right to condemn us chose instead to die for us and is risen at the Father's right hand to be our righteousness. This gospel is so beautiful. Oh, this is the greatest message ever given to mankind. And it pertains to you today and me. Romans 8:34, who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Oh, what a picture. What a picture, brothers and sisters. Look who we are. But you see, the devil is the one who's trying to get us to believe that God watches us with a critical eye, that he punishes us when we do wrong. He's deceived many sincere Christians into believing that if they've done something wrong, bad things have a right to come upon them and their families. And when these things happen, he convinces them that they are suffering God's judgment because of their wrongdoings. In the meantime, these sincere Christians struggle with condemnation because they think they are the cause of their own problems. You see, the devil is scheming, and he schemes to try and get us to be reliant on the law rather than the gospel of grace. And if he can get us to be reliant on the law, how much have I done in my life? What have I done in my life? How busy have I been for the gospel? Has my life shaped up? Am I good enough? I haven't prayed enough. I haven't done this enough. Welcome to life as a human being in mortal flesh. It's not about that. It's not about what you have done or what you haven't done. It's about what Jesus did and what his blood does for us as we put our faith in him. Can you see that? It's so important to take that on board. And when we take that on board, we no longer struggle with condemnation. When we realize it's not about you and about me and how we are living in that sense. No, it's about him. The focus is on Jesus. And what happens is, you know, real Christians don't live sloppy lives then. Real Christians don't want to just go out and go wild and sin. Real Christians, what you find is that when they understand the gospel of grace, when they understand what Jesus has done, in fact, the reverse happens. They think, oh, it's so beautiful. This gospel truth is so beautiful to me. It's not heavy. It's not heavy. It's not difficult. It's just faith. And now because of that, I want to please him. I love Jesus. I want to live my life for Jesus. I don't want to do anything that would upset Jesus because his gospel is so beautiful to me. His truth has liberated me. And now I want to please him in my life. And we stand before him, don't we? And we say, Lord, show me, mold me, have your way. I yield to you.